listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
More vits.
No, thank you. I've had quite enough.
Austria. That is Austria.
The bad news. Here's the bad news.
Hungarian.
No, well, here's the bad news.
Oh.
A guy at a function came to me and said, hey, I really want you to use this. My wife's from there.
Yeah.
And he said it was Morvitz. Can't remember where it was.
Isn't it Morvitz.
I just
so it's a country
simply you can't remember what country he told me. I feel bad.
Someone somewhere that will make
yes
sense.
Please, the guy that came up to me, he's a podcaster. And,
I mean, there's more chance.
He asked for a dollar and I said, hey, yeah, of course. And he said, actually, this would be more than a dollar for me. But unfortunately, I've forgotten.
Which means less than a dollar.
Yeah, so it might be less.
It is, we get the stats occasionally. Yeah. Jack thinks he can Google it. Jack, it's not just Morvitz. Like, it could be 100 ways to spell it.
Yeah, that's all I found. I found a Zoe Morvitz who lives in Northern California.
Because we get the stats of the
podcast. Her family uses it. Yeah, that's what it was.
At family functions, we'll often say our surname to each other as a greeting. We get the stats of the podcast and it'll be like, you know, obviously, the majority is Australia, a lot of Kiwis, a lot of UK, a fair bit of America.
Yep.
But after that, and then, you know, Ireland and stuff, after that, you're under 1%.
Yes.
And the chance of us being listened to heavily in a country where Morvitz is the language is slim, but I'm sure we'll be told on email.
All I'm saying is I apologise. If it comes in an email, I'll try and correct it. Hey, in the meantime, I want to kick this off.
All you can do is try.
You know, I went on a golf trip recently with my mates.
Yep.
And Hawks, who appears on the show from time to time.
I can see him on hold.
He came with
this
us.
This is good.
And Hawks joins us again. Hey, mate, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Hawgo.
Quick side question before we jump into it. You did tell the whole story about your car getting stolen. Has the insurance gone through on that?
Not yet.
All right. Don't worry about that.
Don't know what the holdup is.
Well, we will stay mute on that subject right now.
From memory, remember it being 100% above board. And if I was an insurance agency, I'd be quickly processing that one.
It'd be very disappointing if they didn't come through.
Disappointing for the insurance company, and I'd hate to have to name and shame them on this platform, which, as we just stated, goes global.
Hawks, I don't want you to rebut. Although I'm going to put a series of claims at you. And all I want you to say is guilty or not guilty, okay?
Right.
Great. Yep.
That's all I want.
Sort of like a court in the 1300s. Yeah.
So, hey, we go on a golf trip. Jack, we're on a golf trip and there's 8 of us going down and you take your clubs.
Yep.
Hawks, guilty or not guilty, you rocked up to the airport just holding clubs loose and asked, does anyone have a spare golf bag?
Guilty.
When we went and saw the Green Mundine fight, we flew to Adelaide. We turned up at the airport. You didn't even have your wallet on you. We were flying interstate. You didn't bring your wallet or, like, let alone a backpack, like no undies, no shirt. Yeah. Okay, we were just going for one night. Mm. You know about airports. You travel for work. You know about luggage and...
Anyway,
Here's me. You haven't got any and I've leveled another charge. It's not even about this.
We get into a hire vehicle and we land at the airport, drive an hour north to get to this golf club. During the drive, someone mentioned that we're in a hire vehicle and you went, oh no, I've got a hire car I'm meant to return today and now I'm in a different state.
Yeah, guilty.
We get to the golf club. You realise you don't actually have enough golf clubs, so you borrow some from the pro shop and say that you'll return them. Instead, you take them an hour-long trip back to the airport with you.
Guilty.
Upon leaving the hire car, we're about to board the plane. The hire man comes in and says, someone's left a jacket on the plane. in the hire car. Is this anyone's jacket? And you say, yeah, that's my jacket. I've left it behind.
Guilty.
Yep.
Yeah.
We fly to another little venue and we're getting a bus up to the next accommodation. As we get off that plane, the pilot says, "Whose keys are these?" I said, "I bet they're Horgan's." They were Horgan's.
Guilty.
Yep.
Yep.
We then get to the bus trip up to the accommodation. Out of the bus, that bus driver comes into reception and said someone left their wallet in the bus. Guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Yes. At that point, that's when I said, all right, Hawks.
What's wrong with your pockets? carrying all your stuff around naked, holding it in your arms.
Can we inspect your pockets? Have they got holes in them? No. I said, mate, you've got to get a system.
Yeah.
I said, Hawks.
You need a bum bag, Hawks.
I said, let's do wallet in the right, keys in the left and phone in the left. And every time you get up to go somewhere, just pat both of them.
People do that.
Mm. And you went, okay. We then fly back to home. We all get home, and on the group WhatsApp, I receive a text message that says, "Has anyone got my luggage?" Guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Had you left it on the tarmac?
Yeah, guilty.
When you got home, did your wife say to you, "You're 36?
Guilty. It was, and then the worst part of it was that I'd had a few beers on the way home, so I had to leave my car at Jacko's house.
It's the hire car,
I
think.
I left it there for 4 days.
Oh, jeez. Mate, you would be... Like, you know there are people that have to carry around an EpiPen or whatever, in case something happens. Like, you'd just be so dead if you were one of those people. Like, you know, if you ever need, an oxygen tank or something, your life expectancy will shrink to, 2 days.
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up, but you did then, Hawks. You got home and your wife says, "Where's the car?" You think, "Oh, no, I should have definitely brought the car home." And you say to her, "Dunk was in a rush to get home and wouldn't let us stop off and get the car." To which Kate, your wife, said, "That's not true."
Guilty.
Guilty?
Yeah, I just wanted 2 more beers.
I understand, Hogs.
Hogs, anyway. I didn't drink drive. I was doing the right thing.
Oh, you've done a terrific thing there. Yeah. I mean, all your other behaviour indicates that you were drunk for 2 or 3 days during the golf course, during the golf trip. Hogs, when Andy got back from the golf trip, he was so excited because he's like, "I can't believe it. I beat Hogs. We beat Hogs. Yeah, we never beat Hogs. Because he's such a good golfer." I'm now realising why. You're walking around with, no pants on, no shoes, no clubs, can't find anything, wandering into the bushes.
Mate, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it, bud.
All right, boy. Good trip.
Thanks to everybody who contacts the podcast, the People Show, of course, hamishnady.com.
The volume now of correspondence coming in, Ando, means that from time to time, we look at our inbox, we see a sea of blue dots.
Yeah.
Even though the emails get split 50-50 between us,
yep,
we gotta hit those blue dots. We gotta read those unread messages, and quite often one question will stick out to us, and that's why we like to do occasionally just like a speed bank of calls. We bring up podcasters that have caught our eye with just one question.
Yep.
We want to ask each person. I'm gonna kick it off with Paddy Robinson. How are you, mate?
Good. Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy. How are you, Paddy?
Paddy, I saw your email. Luckily, it came to my side of the fence because you would have been shunned by Andy. You are Australia's number one highest rated male disc golfer. Frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf.
Yep. What goes into your rating? How do you get number one?
Well, the only person that plays it.
Okay, Paddy. It's okay, mate. You just look at my eyes. You've got a friend in me. Don't let Andy rattle you. I'm sure you're used to a competitive environment as... New Zealanders or other famous disc golfers try and put you off. Paddy, what are your skills like? What are your stats that make you the number one?
Well, it's not just me who plays it. That's the first point. Mm-hmm. And I go around Australia. There's a whole heap of different tournaments. And, I won a majority of them last year.
You've won the most. You guys won the most. You won the most Australia. That would make you number one. That's how you get ranked the number one. How far can you throw a frisbee, Paddy?
About 160 metres is my max.
Well, maybe. How far do you reckon Andy could throw one?
16 metres, maybe?
Yay. Nice bounce back, Paddy.
Hey, Paddy, have you ever played the course in Queenstown at the Botanical Gardens? It's the only one I've ever played.
I did, actually. I played that on my honeymoon in December.
Yeah. Is your wife a frisbee golfer?
Very, very, very casually.
What a treat.
She was impressed.
No, nothing more romantic. Okay, Patty, thanks you very much.
I was trying to get Andy. I was trying to get Andy hooked on disc golf. I have not.
Hey, these are meant to be quick. Vinny, Vinny Detroit.
You picked up on that, Jack, didn't you?
Ahoy.
I got told off. Vinny,
ahoy to you. Hey, first of all, great name, Vinny Detroit.
Good on you, Vinny Detroit.
You once turned down a role in a mini series because you didn't want to get a crew cut. Just wondered what the series was.
Yeah, I believe it was called The Leaving of Liverpool on the ABC.
Huh.
And you wouldn't snip Vinny Detroit, don't touch his hair. Was that the rule?
That's right. I had a long head of hair in the early 90s,
yep.
late 80s, early 90s.
Did you get any other acting work?
I did. What I like to call lead extra role.
Oh, yes. Key extra. Hey, Vinny, just quickly, the person who took the role, have they gone on to be very famous?
Look, no, but I mean, if it was me, that would have been a different story.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have the talent.
Would have taken your opportunity. Vinny,
everyone,
thank you very much.
Thanks, Vinny. Takes us to James. James Harry Legend.
Yeah, ahoy, lad.
Ahoy, mate. Ahoy, James. James, you simply wrote, I've got a stat to prove... Well, you actually wrote, I have a stat to prove anything situation. I assume you mean I've got a stat to prove anything?
Well, we could do, but it's all in the beholder. I mean, do we need stats for that?
So, well, I was just going to say, what's the best stat you've used to prove a point?
So you've got a stat to prove anything, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can prove anything with the stat.
Well, my favourite stat I think I've come up with is that in an AFL round, there's 9 games, there has to always be at least 9 winners, but never more than 9 losers.
It sounds like a riddle you might answer to a troll to cross a bridge.
But it's not at least 9 winners because if there's a tie.
Could be a draw.
Oh, it could be a draw, but then if you have a draw, you're better off than a loser.
Yeah, but there's not at least 9 winners. It's a bad stat.
James, can you get to
that?
Well, I mean, it's,
well, you
it's
said
more
there's
of
at least
a,
9 winners, but if there's a tie, there's not 9 winners.
But then you've done better than a loser, so it means you're not a loser.
That's true. There's at least not 9 not losers, but not at least 9 winners.
Correct.
Well, James, you and Ando can have a chat off air to fine-tune this catchy stat.
James,
it does
you,
sound
buddy.
More like a riddle, James, but thank you for participating.
Tim.
Yes, speak.
Tim Coombs, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, Timmy.
Hey, I
like. Ahoy, boys.
I like this. All he wrote was, I once had a kangaroo jump over me, but in what context?
Ooh, Tim.
What was the context?
First off, happy birthday, Andy.
No need.
Thank you, Beth. Here. were you lying down? Were you crouching down? Were you jumping? The ultimate. And the kangaroo jumped over you whilst you were in midair.
None of the above. I was actually mountain biking.
Shit.
That's good. That is great context.
Roaring down a single trail.
And one was going to come across your path and just leapt you.
Yeah, so basically I was on a fairly wide fire trail, not a narrow one between the trees, but it was probably doing about 45, 50 k's an hour.
Yep.
We were going pretty quick, and I just felt something brush my right shoulder and looked over, thought it might have been my mate or something. Couldn't see anything. So my mate pulled up next to me, and I said, oh, what was that? And he goes, you're not going to believe it. This kangaroo was running at the trail. At the last second, it's jumped up, and its tail got clipped my right shoulder.
Unbelievable. I thought it could have been like that guy that jumped the Formula One car, was facing it. And just,
oh, that was a great stunt.
Had its
and
time,
it timed it perfectly.
Timed it perfectly head on. But that's amazing, Tim. Thank you very much.
Huge, Tim. Brings us to Dylan. This is a slight head scratcher. Dylan, ahoy.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, mate.
Dil, you have listed your special skill, getting in line before it gets long or busy.
Yes.
So arriving early.
Is that just arriving early?
No, I'm not too sure, but it does like slow down when I get there, so I'll be at the front, not actually like getting served, but it'll slow down, then it'll just get really busy and I'll just be kind of near the front, like maybe one or two to go, and I'll just get really packed, yeah.
So you've noticed, so is it more that you notice you just have a knack of getting in a queue that doesn't have many people in it, then you turn around and, oh, what's this? There's 50 people behind you.
Yeah, I've actually noticed it maybe about 4 or 5 times, I reckon, so.
You might be the trendsetter, though.
Yeah,
Dylan might be like the Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Like
or you've got something really interesting written on the back of your T-shirt or something like that people want to read. But so it's not that you look at a queue. It's not like you're like those guys that work in Wall Street who can like pick a company that's about to, like, their share price is about to triple. So you don't look at a queue and go, Something about this queue. This is going to get popular. I better get in here.
You find yourself in a queue
that happens to you.
That grows behind you.
Yeah, just going about my day and, it's all happening.
Dylan, thank you.
We don't know how we get these skills, Dylan, but the Lord grants us with them and it's not up to us to argue.
Hey, you and I get tricked by this all the time. Certainly the glossy mags do it, clickbait on all websites now.
Yeah. I mean, any news headline.
Where they will try and create a salacious headline, it's generally something negative, and you can click on the story and it turns out that it's positive.
Yeah. Like, you know, New Zealand Prime Minister's baby name shock.
Yeah.
And then the shock is that just how quickly they named it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We thought we'd try and play this with Jack's life today. We gave him the task of coming up with three pleasant things he's done this week.
Yep.
That he's going to tell us about, and you and I will try and turn
into
salacious, shocking headlines. Part of this.
Oh, that's lovely.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's perfect. No, it's not.
Wait a second, there is something wrong with that.
Salacious headline.
Jack. What are you ready to play?
All right. So I'll say the story and then start the timer and then you guys will tell me the headline.
Yep.
Okay. For the first story is, it's not really a story, just something that happened to me on the weekend.
Yep.
I went on a long drive with old friends, giving us a chance to reminisce on fond memories.
Salacious headline in 3, 2, 1.
Mine is Jack Post snubs new friends.
Yeah, good. I almost just give that to Ando. I had Jack Post trapped in car.
That's also good. That's also good, Jack.
Oh, do I have to pick a winner?
No, this is good.
I mean, we just
have to be a winner.
Our big winner is just getting clicks and volume, eyeballs on the article.
The next thing you did, Jack?
On Saturday night, my wife and I made homemade cocktails and watched documentaries.
Salacious headline in 3, 2, 1.
Boozy night for Post sees him fact wife hard. Possibly until she begs for mercy. Too much.
I was going to go down the same thing. It's like drinking at home, trouble in paradise for alcoholic couple.
Very good.
Okay. Big applause.
Thank you. I don't think this happens in newsrooms.
Thank you so much. All right, last one, Jack. What's the last nice thing you did?
I went to a restaurant on a double date. We ate Japanese food.
Salacious headline. Yeah, salacious headline in 3, 2, 1.
Au regard, no. Jack Post refuses to pay again at Japanese restaurant. And I'm just guessing, but I assume you somehow shirked out on the bill.
Mine was racist Jack snubs the Chinese.
Yeah. Jack strings together another no-no, not eating at a Chinese restaurant. Both accurate, both fair, both salacious. Ando, near where you and I live, there's quite a basic takeaway place, sort of your traditional lunch stop.
Yep.
They've invested in some attention-grabbing machinery for the front window.
Okay.
One of those, like quite a large three-colour, like displays, like pixelated display.
Yep.
So you can display a message. It's not like a LCD screen or anything, but you know what I mean. Like, it can be like, now open, and it's often like red, green, blue, I think, are the colours.
I'm the one.
You'll see them very, very regularly. It's the kind of place where Coca-Cola has like gone, we'll do your whole store.
Yes.
But it's Coke-themed.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those shops.
Yeah.
So I've waited a week to bring this up because I thought I'd be fair with my criticism, because I noticed this almost exactly 1 week ago from today. In the window, the following specials will flash. Lunch specials, it will say, for a bit, flashing.
Yes.
Hot dog and drink, $9.
Okay.
Pizza slice and drink, $13.
Yes.
Two pizza slices, two drinks, $20. And then we'll rotate. Ooh. Okay. Then they've had...
That's a good deal, though.
It's not bad. Well, you're saving quite a lot. You're saving $6.
Yeah.
But you just suspect
That they're overcharging.
A, they're in cahoots with Coke because you've seen the window.
Yep.
And it's probably, I think it's Postmix. Right. I haven't been in, but I think I saw a Postmix machine. And, you know, they're getting, it's one of those places, they'll make a lot of pizza, cut it up.
Ah, yeah, I'm with you.
They don't, their pizza menu is as follows. It's just margarita, there might be meat lovers, there might be Hawaiian. They're not doing gourmet stuff.
Yes. Okay. I think I know the place.
Yeah. So
they're open late.
Yep, they're open. I think they do a lot of their trade at lunch
yes.
because they focus heavily on lunch. But yeah, they are open late.
Yeah.
The sign then dedicates at least 50% of its life. Yeah. So you scroll through those three specials.
Yes.
Then it gives about 50% of its airtime to a message that says "new lunch deals coming soon." Right, like getting everyone excited. Yeah, there's new lunch deals coming soon. Yeah.
Well, we're not afraid of hyping things up a bit.
So at first I went, okay, hype is good.
Yes.
My question to them is this: realistically, just do the specials, then put them up, because you've only got three lunch specials as it is.
Yes, yes.
They're not hard lunch specials. Yep. You're not getting a new menu. You only serve margarita pizza.
I see what you're saying, Ham, but what it stinks of me, and it would have been hard for them to do what you're asking, because
just put the new specials up. You don't. No one's going at the new specials up yet.
But what if they have a guy dedicated to trying to create specials, and he's out the back tinkering?
That's what I think. That's what I think it is. And then they've gone, give us a new special. He's gone, look, tell him it's coming.
But
is a hot dog and drink for $9 the kind of deal where you want a 1 week heads up that something as good as this is coming down the pipe?
Well,
let's face it, a low emotional attachment lunch decision. It's not a big. You're not taking the family there as a special occasion. It's not like when they go new menu coming soon, and it's a restaurant that's known for its seasonal produce. It's a hot dog. It's dim sims.
Yeah.
It's slices of pizza.
Yep.
Whatever combination you've come up with for dimmies, dogs, pizza, drinks, whatever. However, it works for you.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just tell us the deal when it comes on the day, because we're getting change out of $15 and we're having a delicious lunch. So it's not really the kind of thing we're marking in our calendars.
It feels like to me, and this is the analogy I was heading towards before, is when someone launches a website but doesn't have enough content to put in the paper.
There's no content. I think he's gone, we've got four cycles.
Website
under construction.
Yeah, they'll have the homepage great, and you click on one of the tabs. It's like coming soon. Watch this space. Just don't have a tab.
Yeah, we weren't watching. Why did you invite us to the grand opening of your car yard to go? And we cannot wait to get some cars in here. Put the cars in, then invite us.
Hey, I'm exciting because it's time to play.
Chip me with your best chat.
Chit-chat champion. And where we test people's ability to create interesting small talk in a realistic simulation.
Yep.
We must stress we are not testing if people can be funny. We're testing if people can be interesting conversationalists. The way we do it is, Ando, you've got a tidbit of conversation. You'll say to me, I will then reply or add something to the conversation. Then there will be a natural point for the contestants to enter the conversation and add their next piece of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Be judged on if it was interesting and if it elevated the conversation or at least progressed the conversation another step.
Yeah.
Much like you would at, say, a party or a bar or whatever, if you're new to a group.
We don't like when people come back with a question, because it feels like they're buying time. What we're hoping for is to people to take lead.
It was about momentum.
Yes.
And a question doesn't add momentum. Mm. In fact, a question stops things down and you need something twice as good to get the conversation started again.
Hongi joins us. She is our first contestant. Welcome, Hongi.
Ahoy, boys. Ahoy. How are you?
Yeah, ahoy, Hongi. We're very, very good. Do you fancy yourself as someone that's pretty good at chat?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah,
so,
great.
What kind of work do you do, Hongi?
I'm a solicitor.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
You've heard a lot of chat, complex chat.
You actually get paid, if I'm not mistaken, to keep the chat up.
Yeah, pretty much.
I believe you bill in 12-minute increments. So if you can keep that chat up, it's all time is money.
Good work, Hoggy. All right. You'll be against Ryan today. Ryan, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, right.
Right. What kind of chat can you bring? And where's your best environment for chat, do you think?
Oh, I've got no idea.
Okay.
Okay. That's all right. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it, Rye, because the best way. I reckon you could surprise us, Rye, because the best way to obviously enter these conversations is with an open mind.
Yep.
Be listening. We've had people come in before with obviously something that they've prepared and that they want to get in, and we can smell a wedge in.
Yeah.
And,
rather than a set game plan, let the game evolve around you.
Stay fluid.
Stay fluid. Stay mobile. All right. We're going to put Ryan on hold. He won't be able to hear Hongi's attempt. I'll start the conversation. Hamish will add something, and then Hongi, it'll be your job to try and jump in. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Oh, hey, Hongi. Hey, Ham.
Oh, hey, Ando.
I heard this. NASA finishing testing on an aircraft that will be able to get from Melbourne to Brisbane in 40 minutes.
Jeez. Well, a cab from Melbourne to the airport will still take an hour.
Yeah, that's right. It would be such a waste of time if the taxi, drive is longer than the air flight. And, obviously, time is money, as we were discussing earlier. So it's so important to make the most of every minute, right?
Not bad.
Oh, you're pretty good. I'll tell you what, your pace, your tempo, your confidence, all A+, A+, A+.
Her entry was fantastic.
Your entry, your timing, the way you judge the skipping rope, you just got in and started skipping, very, very good. If I was to nitpick at all, I would say you just went over previous points.
Yeah, it felt like you just repeated what Abe said. I think you were wobbly to begin with, and then you found a nice purpose, which was...
You realised the training wheels were off.
Let's live life to the fullest, which is a bit more of a fable at the end.
Yeah, it was a good message.
But like, certainly not a failure.
Certainly not
a failure. Wouldn't say she's smashed it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, you were pleasant, you were convivial. Mm. People go, what's Hongi like? She's very, very, she's very, very upbeat, really lovely girl, positive. Mm. She repeats a bit of stuff you say. She's a bit of a clarifier.
I'm understanding what's, being said.
She's a very, very well-intentioned, great-hearted clarifier. That's how I would describe Hongi to new friends.
All right, we'll put Hongi on hold. And Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Obviously didn't hear Hongi.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Good luck,
mate.
All right, thank you.
Oh, g'day, guys. Guess what? I just heard NASA are finishing testing on an airplane that will be able to get from Melbourne to Brisbane in 40 minutes.
Oh, geez. The cab from the middle of Melbourne to the airport will still take an hour, though.
Oh, that's really, interesting. I hate long cab rides. I like taking the plane. It's all right.
I hear you, right?
Sorry, I wasn't the best person to be in a conversation with.
Didn't really let him get off the tarmac.
That's really interesting. I hate long cab rides.
Not really what we're talking about. But I loved... Ryan, were you agreeable? Yes. Do people like agreeable people? They sure do. You're pleasant.
That's amazing.
You weren't rude. They're all the positives I can think of.
Huge pause after I hate long cab rides. Where you were hoping the other guys in the conversation go, hey, I'm with this guy. Get him a beer.
Like we might all just cheer, rip off our shirts and run into the streets and start a protest.
Ryan, you are the loser.
Not shocked.
Hongi, you won.
Yep.
It was a tough one. But you'll be able to listen back, Ryan. You're on hold.
Ryan also.
The door was left open for you. Hongi didn't nail it.
Ryan was a clarifier too. He just clarified the wrong bit.
Thanks so much, guys.
Well done, gang. Very good chat.
Hey, last week we set this appointment after a man called Kale came through with the goods.
Yep.
he said he could throw a grape 21 metres in the air and catch it in his mouth.
Which, according to his research, he thinks would be a world record.
We thought just getting it that high, a grape that high would be
huge,
impressive.
Huge.
So he said, before we fly you at our expense, which we've had a history of doing and people failing.
Couple of stumbles.
We said, send us vision of you. I think we suggested throwing it into a pool, like a public pool roof, because we thought that'd be...
That would be at least...
That had a diving board.
That would be close to 20 metres, we thought.
Yep. He couldn't find a pool to let him in with his grapes, but he did go down...
Yeah, we tried pools to let him in, but when they frisked him for fruit, they got the grapes. And they knew exactly what he was up to, and they kicked him in.
He did send us a very impressive video, though, of him throwing a grape above the height, well above the height of a footy post,
yeah,
which we put at around about 12 metres a footy post.
Yeah, easily clearing it.
So we said, yep, get him on a plane. get him here.
This guy's good.
We went to the local park. We hired a cherry picker.
Yep.
And we met Cale there. We were going to go up to, the 20-metre mark.
We wanted to go up to increasingly higher marks, as you're about to hear, to hopefully be eye to eye with the grape as it came up to us.
Conditions were harsh.
Yes, it was a little windy and rainy.
And this is when we caught up with Cale.
Cale, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Are you nervous? Conditions are not great for grape throwing.
No, they're not. It's a whole different grape game.
It is raining out here, Cale. The problem you're going to face as you piff your grape up into the stratosphere is, of course, every drop of water that hits it is pushing it back down to the ground. Are you confident you can throw it around the drops?
Yeah, try and move it around in the air a bit. Yeah. We'll see how we go.
You bought a bag of grapes. Well done. I didn't even think of that. It was such a big chance we got down here with no grapes.
Is there a preferred grape?
Show us your grapes.
These are some of the grapes.
Oh, yeah. That looks like a grape.
I feel like we're on a really shit version of MasterChef. So show us the grape. Here's a grape. That is a grape.
When you pick the type of grape, is bigger better?
Oh, absolutely. You need the bigness to get the weight.
Yep.
Get it right up in the air.
Slow down, kid. What do you mean by bigness?
We've had this situation before when people have said they're going to come and do the skill, and in the lead up, they go, oh, I better practice a bit more. Have you done any training leading up to this?
A little bit. I went out in the front yard a bit and just threw some grapes up in the air and see how we go. Tried a few different actions.
What did your neighbours think?
I mean, I don't think they saw it.
What's Cale doing?
Dad asked why there was grapes all over the driveway. So.
Oh, right. Were you not catching them in your mouth?
I mean,
How heartbroken will you feel? Because obviously, 21 metres we now, you joked about it, you wrote in your email, it's piss weak. We now know it's actually piss strong. That's quite tough to throw a grape 21 metres vertically off the surface of the earth. Mm. How heartbroken will you be if you do get the distance but you don't complete the mouth catch?
That'll be tough because...
Would you rather we don't... Like, if we see the grape come up... Yeah. The whole idea is we're up in the cherry picker, the grape comes up to our eye level, we then hold the flags out like league referees. Would you rather we wait until you've caught it for us to go, that was an official... Do you know what I mean? Like, if you see the flags, you're going to panic.
But going, I mean, if I catch it and then I don't see the flags and then I think I've done it, it could be a bit of a heartbreak.
All right, well, we're going to do the flags as soon as we see the
flags. As soon as we see it. Okay, this is exciting.
Oh, true, because you might, you're going to throw it up. You see no flags, you won't even catch it in your mouth.
Exactly.
Let's talk turkey, the elephant in the room. The coin.
Yep.
If you get 18 metres, we'll give you an H&A coin.
New beauty.
You get 21. You get an 8-coin coin.
Ooh, a gold
baby.
One.
Now we're talking.
Any warm-ups involved or we can get into it?
Nothing we can get into it. I'll swing the arms.
Are you throwing overarm or underarm?
Underarm.
Underarm. You've worn a corduroy jacket over a hoodie.
Yeah, I can tell you so.
Okay.
Pretty handsome, Cale, isn't he? I mean, as far as in the sport, what a poster boy for the sport.
He would be one of the leaders. You're what the sport needs to elevate it to the next level.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'll try and plaster my face everywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just immediately when I saw you, I thought you might be wearing, like, skins and a singlet or something, but you're wearing... quite tight jeans and a corduroy jacket. But if that's what you want to throw in, you throw in that. We're gonna clip ourselves into the cherry picker because we're going sky high.
And we'll leave Jack on the ground with you to chat to you in between different throws. One other thing, is it as many attempts? Like, what are we doing?
At each level, we will have to give you 3 attempts in accordance with the International Grape Throwers Association rule.
I feel like it should be more than
5 attempts. Okay. We'll give you 5 attempts at each level.
Thank you. I need the leniency there.
Did you see the duck summoner?
I was a bit worried that, you'd rock up and I'd have, like, watermelons or something to try and catch my mouth.
The Eurasian coot
debate. The coot debacle, yeah.
Look, we've had a think about it.
Yep.
We don't think we're in the wrong.
No.
We've stated that. You've got grapes. Let there be no complaints.
You've got
the right species of grape.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you up there. Oh, no, you stay down.
So we headed across the cherry picker ham.
Yep.
We ended up being quite high, didn't it? I think we were going to 18 metres first.
Yep, that was the plan.
And Cale had his bunch of grapes. Yep. Let's see if he could do it.
Okay, up we go, Ando.
Conditions are not great.
Conditions are terrible. It's really starting to rain here.
Are you nervous for it?
Yes, I am.
How are you going? You're not great with heights.
I'm not great with heights. Tell you what I'm fine with. Safety harnesses.
Yeah, okay, good.
Safety harnesses. Just being able to hold a rail.
Yep. Mate, we're so exposed to the elements up here.
Yeah, we're going to go really high.
We're now tiring. We'd be three stories up now.
Ooh. Jeez, I don't like it when it gets shaky.
Now, Kale, as they go up, do you, like with each meter they get higher, are you surprised at how high this thing goes and how high 21 meters actually is?
Yeah, I mean, I keep getting shocked. I mean, I saw this thing up before and it went bloody high. But at the moment, they're sitting all right. I can do that.
Whoa.
Jeez, we're really getting blown around a little bit up here too.
Yeah.
How high is that, you reckon?
Whoa.
Sorry, mate, just trying to hold on for dear life at the moment.
Dave from Spider Lift Hire, if you're ever running your own grape experiment, I would recommend using Dave and Spider Lift Hire.
100%.
The conditions are kind of bad here. I reckon that's about the max I could throw a grape. Yeah.
That's all right, I reckon I can get that. We'll be right there.
We're at 18 now.
We're at 18. I mean, do you reckon you can get this or do we have to go back down?
Maybe, I'm not sure. I haven't had a throw yet.
Nah, he told me secretly he can do it.
Well, if you get this...
I didn't want our confidence.
You bank the coin straight away.
Oh, you beauty.
So, do you want us to come back down or do you want us to stay here?
I reckon give this a crack.
Oh, my gosh.
He's giving it a crack. All right, here we go. This is for an H&A coin. We're at 18 metres.
He's taken his... duffel jacket off. Do you want me to hold on to that for you?
That'd be great. Thank you.
The wind is howling up here.
Okay, we're ready.
Alright.
Good luck, Kale.
See how high we get.
He's going for an underarm throw. Not even close. Not even close.
Not a great start.
That's no good. That's come up just underneath. I'm going to say about 2 or 3 metres shy.
Yeah.
Attempt number one.
Oh, no.
No break.
Okay.
It's so windy.
We've got a gale coming in at us.
The wind is picking up. The rain is picking up. Conditions are terrible. Kale goes for another throw. It's much higher.
You're getting higher.
That's good.
You are getting higher.
Good height. Good height.
I can't go now. The wind's died down.
I knew we should have started lower. I knew it.
Good luck, Kale.
Thanks, Jack.
Don't know really what else to say. Yeah.
Here he goes.
Oh, no.
That's low.
Actually, we're just going to forget you did that one. I think you know that was a stinker, don't you?
Okay.
I know, in my heart.
Maybe you already know better than me, but is underarm the best method?
Yeah, well, overarm is just hard to get straight up.
There's no way you're getting 21, but you're so close to getting the silver coin.
It is so cold, so windy. It's
freezing. Come on, mate. Get this, Kale.
Okay, come on.
That's a good one. Successful catch and the flags are waving.
I'm just going to get the meter out. That got to our feet.
I reckon that's successful.
I've tentatively, generously called it, but it got to our shins.
So, Kale, it didn't look like it got to their eye level.
And he's re-measuring from our shins.
But Hamish started waving the flag. You think you've got a complete throw?
I think so. If the flags were waved, I reckon that's complete.
Oh, 17.5.
Oh.
Kale's point from down here is you waved the flag.
Yeah, that was excitement, though.
That was just sort of a generous judge.
17.5.
I mean, we're just conferring up here whether 17.5 will give it.
Right, well, while you think about it, he's going to find a bigger grape.
Okay, we'll just have a chat.
I'm cold. I'm freezing. We're having Nando's for lunch.
That's great.
As soon as we hop down.
Yep.
I mean, I love rules. You love rules. We just seem to go through it. 17.5 metres in the air. That's so impressive.
So impressive. I think we give him the silver coin anyway.
Yes. He doesn't know he's won it yet.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. He's got the bigger grape.
Okay, here we go. He's got a bigger grape.
This is the last attempt.
Good luck, Kale. Last attempt. He steadies himself. Bows into his underarm throw and it's up. It's pretty high. The flags are waving. Now all he has to do is catch it.
He's done it. He's got the coin. 18 meters.
flags. The flags are going wild.
Absolutely 18.
Dancing around.
The bigger grain. The bigness. It was the bigness.
All right, let's head up to 21.
Nah, we're coming down.
We're coming down.
I know, it's pretty good.
No way you're getting another 3 metres.
Thank you, Dave.
We're coming down.
That was incredible.
Kale.
Yeah.
You're right. That was very high.
That's so really high.
Can throw grapes very high and catch them in your mouth.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And so Hamish and Andy decide to come down. They won't go to the complete height of 21 metres for the world record. They've decided that he can't throw that high, and it's obvious that he can't. But 18 is still pretty good. Well done, Kale. Well done, Hamish and Andy. Back to you in the studio.
Thanks very much, Jack. Great throwback.
We all just knew. We're not even going to go for the next level.
No, we didn't.
It's obvious. It's just obvious.
It was bloody impressive, though. HamishNeddy.com. Go there now. On our Facebook as well. The video of him throwing. It's so high.
He did say in his initial email, if people remember, that's the thing that got our attention. He said, look, I know what you're thinking. Sure, a lot of people can throw stuff up and catch it in their mouth, but every time I do it, people go, actually, that's higher than I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And we were certainly in that boat, or cherry picker, as it were.
Yep.
Well done, Kale. You played a great game.
HamishAndy.com, guys.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at HamishAndy.com.
Listener.